my guest is Todd Kaufman. Todd, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great. What do you do?
I work for a company called Test Double, where we deliver software to clients, try to solve their challenging problems as best we can.
You don't just work for the company. You own the company, right?
So, yeah, we started the company about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
We've had a great first year and a half. We've grown. We have 10 really talented developers, well, 9 and then myself. We've been able to grow and help a lot of clients so far.
So it was a good change for you to move from being an employee to being the man, being the...
So even beyond that, it was a change from a project perspective, right?
Okay.
So a lot of what we were doing in a prior life, I was doing a lot of agile transformations, things like that.
Okay.
Became really frustrated, because I started feeling like the agile movement was 90% money grab, 10% people really trying to valuably change their lives for the better.
That sounds really cynical. So what do you mean when you say money grab?
I think you see things like the certified Scrum, stuff.
Okay.
To me, it feels like that is basically just somebody trying to put a certification around problem solving when problem solving is inherently not certifiable, right?
Okay.
So a lot of people are trying to force the process and the prescription of Agile, I think, without really understanding the value, right? The value is really, it's 4 simple statements, right? We're talking about certain values over others, right?
Okay.
Working software over documentation,
right?
So,
yeah, Agile Manifesto is very, very small.
Right. So how is it that we can have, this multi-million dollar industry around helping people use 4 values to help solve their problems, right? So what I saw a lot was with the enterprise clients I worked with, they were really just struggling to still deliver working software, even though they were going through the practices of Agile processes. So it was kind of like a checklist mentality. They would do Agile by rote, but they still wouldn't get working software out the door. So we started the company as kind of a backlash against that. We wanted to get back to what we were focused on, which is really building valuable software for our clients.
Okay, so if there's a lot of people that are writing books about Agile, they're doing Agile training like you guys are doing, and you're telling me it's not enough just to go through the steps. There's more to it than just the action of...
Exactly. So, and to be clear, we don't do Agile training now. We used to.
Okay.
So now what we do is we help people build software better. In some ways, maybe a client is still trying to plan everything up front. We would try to get them away from that, get them to a more iterative approach and a more evolutionary approach.
Okay.
I think what's going on right now is a lot of people are basically just doing it by rote, like I said. So the problem with that is
What is the problem with that?
So the problem with that is they can still do daily stand-ups, right? Mm-hmm. They still decompose the system into a bunch of stories, and they still estimate those stories with t-shirt sizes or 3s or 5s or whatever it may be. And at the end of the day, they deliver software that basically doesn't meet their users' needs. Because one, they very rarely talk so much about, hey, I need to get this software in front of an end user and get their feedback and then reiterate on their ideas and their feedback. This is why the whole lean startup movement came about, right?
Sure.
That should have already been covered by Agile if you're really doing Agile.
Isn't that just, are they just missing some checkboxes that they should be going through?
I think they're missing the values, right? So I think they're adhering to the checkboxes, right? They read Scrum and they think, all right, if I do daily stand-ups, my life will be better. Yeah. Maybe, maybe not. If I do, iteration-based delivery, my life would be better. Maybe it will, maybe it won't.
Okay.
But they miss out on the stuff that's basically like, all right, Agile doesn't really talk about, what do you do as far as refactoring and testing, right? Scrum says nothing about it, right?
This is why
Schwaber came out with, hey, we need to have all these certified developer, programs. But they still don't solve the core problem of it's really, really hard to build working software in a way that's maintainable in the years.
Okay.
So that's kind of more where our focus is at.
Okay. So, I'm a big proponent of Agile methodologies
sure.
and Scrum in particular. You and I worked at a company together that
yep.
Was big on Agile, big on Scrum. But it doesn't, I think you hit the nail on the head that it doesn't really solve any problems. All it does is bring problems to light faster.
Exactly.
Then I think the step that you're telling me that's missing is that if all you're doing is checking out these checkboxes, you're not resolving those problems once they come to light.
Exactly. Right. So you hit it on the head, right? So Agile is a visibility tool, right? A lot of the processes like Scrum, great tools for visibility.
Right.
You can start to see things coming that, hey, we have a high defect count. All right. We have a quality issue that we need to look at. How do we solve that quality issue? Nowhere in the Scrum books does it say that, right?
Okay.
You may have your certification on the wall. You still need to be able to solve those problems, though, if you really want to be efficient at software delivery.
Okay. So now you've got a lot more control over your life.
Yes.
And you're doing things a little bit different. What have you changed about your approach to software development?
Yeah, so it's funny because, you know, we kind of started the company as a backlash against Agile.
Against Agile. That's not really fair.
Big Agile, right? Okay. Big A Agile, right? Right. Like, that's what the backlash is against. So the whole, you know, money grab part of it. But we have probably our most Agile client that we've ever worked with is our main client. And it's a joy to work with them, right? All of my problems I focus on a day-to-day basis are software related, right? How do we get this system that's starting to become extremely large broken into smaller chunks so that it can be maintainable in the future? How do we get a slow running test suite that, while it's valuable and it covers a lot of the system with working tests, how do we get that time that it takes to run shrunk so that we can get faster feedback and develop software quicker? You know, those are the problems that we're trying to solve. All of the Agile stuff, like daily stand-ups and, you know, our planning process and our iterations and things like that, they're all kind of taken for granted, right? They all just kind of work right now because the client is already at a level of maturity with Agile that, you know, is you know, far beyond what the Scrum books or anything else would tell you.
That's interesting. Let me relate this to something that I'm working on, because I'm on a team right now that's refactoring a legacy application. We're trying to fix some bugs in it. We're trying to get it more maintainable. It's kind of what we call spaghetti code, lots of interdependencies between lots of calls from the user interface into the database. They're at a point now where they'll fix one bug, or I should say they were at a point where the old software company, which has been fired,
right,
it would fix one bug and it would break something else.
Yep.
And I look at the code and I see why. And so we're trying to bring some methodologies just to help ease that process. In some ways we're getting pushback. Why are you spending so much time writing automated tests for this?
Yep.
And because that's not actually fixing a bug. Are you encountering those problems at all?
Yeah, so it's not uncommon. We're fortunate right now our main client doesn't, you know, think that way. They realize that, hey, the automated tests are helping us prevent future defects. We still have some of the same problems, though, that you're describing, right? It's a big legacy app.
Yeah.
How do we start to unwind this thing? And really, that's why I think the whole craftsmanship movement has started up, right? It's a backlash against stop focusing on the process of feeding work to the developers. Start focusing much more on the way that we develop software so that it can be maintainable and extensible for the years to come, right?
Okay.
That's the hard part, right? That's what I want to learn about. That's what I want to get better at.
Right.
That's why we've started Test Doubles, because, you know, as much as we're trying to get better at this, we've still been fortunate that we've been practicing it more than some of the other companies out there. So we're able to help offer some guidance and you know, some experience to help companies through that.
So give me some advice that maybe I could take back to my team. I'm thinking about, we're doing stand-ups and we have sprints, and those are all well and good. But our goals are to fix bugs.
Yep.
To make this software more maintainable.
Yep.
To make it less fragile. We're building test suites around it. We're trying to refactor some things and make them smaller. Are these the approaches we should be taking? Are we being agile enough? Are we being too agile? What's your take on this? Give me a limited knowledge.
I won't answer the "are we agile enough" or "are we too agile" question, because I don't believe in it. But I think I'll talk about my own experience. Okay, when I really wanted to start getting better at writing software, focusing on, you know, how can I build software that's more maintainable, I got some good advice. And it was, you know, really it was a few different techniques that I could use, but one of them stuck out to me. Write smaller methods.
Okay.
That's it. So, you know, I would be comfortable writing a 20-line method or a 30-line method, or even extending a method that was already 100 lines and taking it to 140 lines, all right? Now, I'm not. I don't do that. If I'm inheriting an app and it's got a method that's 40 lines long, one of the first things I do is, one, I will use automated testing, right? So I'll make sure that that thing is, you know, at least already characterized by automated tests, so I know how it works. Or I'll build that, you know, characterization test from scratch so that I can say, all right, this thing works this way, and I know it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll start refactoring it, all right? So then I'll start breaking this thing down into more logical methods so that I can help, hopefully, understand what this thing is trying to accomplish, right? If I can just write smaller methods that are more appropriately named, my understanding of the system tends to go up quite a bit, and then I write fewer defects because I'm not making the assumptions that lead to, you know, hey, off by one error or whatever it may be.
Right, right. And that is very much the approach that we're taking.
Awesome.
Setting up those automated tests, though, has proved difficult because the code itself is not inherently very testable code.
Yeah.
It wasn't written with that in mind.
Yep.
That's a challenge that we're facing.
Yeah, and like you said, it is a big ball of spaghetti, right? So it's kind of like the yarn hanging out from your sweater. You start to pull on it, sooner or later, all the thing starts to come unraveled, right? It's tough. It's not easy work. I won't say that, but it's something that I think you have to be persistent at, and you have to do it as a team, right? If one half of the team is starting to write a lot of these characterization tests and start doing some serious refactoring, the other half is creating the debt as fast as the other team is fixing it, you're not getting anywhere.
Right, I get it. Okay. So this isn't actually what we set out to talk about, but I like the way this conversation is going. Are you using any methodologies then in your day-to-day work, or are you kind of have some just guiding principles that are
taking where
and it's just focused on the software?
Yeah, I'm being a little dogmatic in my backlash against Agile, don't get me wrong. I still believe in all of the Agile principles, right? I mean, I think that, you know, it is much better to focus on, you know, working software, right, over documentation. I think it's more valuable.
That seems that's the piece that you're embracing most.
That's definitely one of them. I mean, I think it's, you know, I think, you know, following a plan, I think, blindly gets you very little, right? Reacting to change, I think, is the bigger part of that, right?
Okay.
And that's where, you know, I think my career has largely been reacting to change constantly, right? Software, it's changing all the time, right?
Right.
I looked at JavaScript as a, you know, kind of a toy language to make the web kind of do what I wanted, manipulate the DOM, you know, a number of years ago. I've since started working with people who have kind of opened my eyes that, look, this is a real programming language with some real power,
yeah.
And oftentimes it's the best place for a lot of user interface focused business logic.
Sure.
So I've been fortunate that I've surrounded, you know, myself with people smarter than I am, so I can learn from these guys.
So a lot of people smarter than me in this room right here.
I'm happy being the stupidest person at my company any day of the week. So far, it's worked out really well for me. That's the old jazz guitarist, Pat Metheny. He always said, you never want to be the best player in your own band, right? So I'm trying to live that principle.
That's pretty good, although Pat usually was.
Yeah, exactly. He's modest, too, apparently. But yeah, I don't know that we apply a specific process to our work. We try to be iterative. We try to get fast feedback. I've been led by a lot of change books and things like that that I've read to really try and follow the bright spots, right? So when you see somebody here at a conference like a Jim Wyrick, go tell him what problem I'm having in my day-to-day work and just get his thoughts on it, right? Because Jim's seen a lot that I haven't. He's got a much faster mind than I do with regards to software development. So I try to absorb that as much as I can.
All right. I think that's a show.
All right, Dave.
Todd, thanks a lot.
Thanks, man. Yeah, this is Todd Kaufman. I work for Test Double. My passions are technology, spending time with my friends, and drinking scotch. Mostly the scotch, though. Thanks.